All right. Hello, everybody.
Feeling
Welcome
it.
Back. This is Relative Rewind, like that button on your VCR controller, which you still have.
Only one that still shares the same DNA as you. Wait. No, we don't. Really? No, we don't. But anyway, still. Yeah.
It's still, I don't think that it matters.
Doesn't matter. Not important. No, not important. It's just the way you feel. And tonight we're feeling a little amped up. Got a lot to talk about in this set.
I couldn't think of a Dragon Ball pun. There's usually something there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's always something there because the balls are just hanging there. Come on. Just reach out and grab them.
Like you're a doctor asking you to turn your head and cough.
Usually, yeah. Except for, wait, you go to a doctor for that?
Oh, Steve is my doctor.
Oh, so the same. Okay.
Are you saying he's not a doctor? Because I need to have some words with him if that's not the case.
I'm just saying, I've never seen any diplomas stapled to the wall.
Maybe he just puts them up for me.
I did hear through the grapevine he's doing some kind of community service, but nobody really
could tell me
what.
Oh, I thought this was his community service. That's why I get such a good rate.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what. Yeah, I was going to say, the only guy I know that can pull a 5-star review from a 501c, so. Good for him, whatever he's doing. Just warm the hands up the next time, man. Just warm them up. That's why you only got 4.5
subs. Seinfeld episode about shrinkage. Okay. Come on, man.
You don't even need a pool for this.
Also, this episode is brought to you by Cool Ranch Doritos and Cactus Cooler. Brands that I could think of that could also sponsor us. When you need a Cool Ranch feeling in your mouth or a cactus that you want to drink, Cactus Cooler. And Cool Ranch Doritos, available in stores.
I was always told that you could drink almost any cactus. Almost any. Okay, but there's if it has a flower on it, if the flower is normal and healthy, you can drink it and eat it, whatever. But if there's a flower on it and the flower looks kind of dead or whatever, not too pretty, if you eat that, you're basically going on an acid trip because that means if it's not healthy enough to support a flower, you're going somewhere on that.
Well, that's directly relevant to living in the state of Michigan. All the cacti.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Definitely not in a place I wanted to be. Well, I've been out west multiple times. Just Joshua Tree. I'm sure it's a great national park and all, but just, kitty corner from it, 29 Palms. Yeah, that place can get nuked and I don't care. I know a lot of people that would be like, who cares? But you know what we do care about is Trunks kicking Zamasu right in the face, right in the very beginning.
Exactly. And reaching new power levels that we didn't know about. And yeah.
Okay. So right there, I'm going to stop you because you already brought it up it's going to play out throughout the whole next couple episodes that we're going to discuss. The energy around Trunks through these ones is always purple. Everything that he's done in these next couple episodes, his energy color is purple. All of his blasts, except for one at the very end, and I think you know which one I'm talking about. That's the only time everything goes back to a different, or not normal color, but it's the only time it's not. And I'm like, why? Where's the purple coming from? What was the first step before going blue? If you remember. They went kind of, Goku was like that reddish purplish depending on what angle he was standing. Kind of rosé, but not really. Not pink, but reddish and purplish.
Just like kind of Goku Black is, like the color of like his sword thing attack.
Yeah. Basically the same. I mean, it's a really not Barney purple.
Well, thank goodness.
But good purple. Well, okay, side note. Well, it's going to continue. Anybody that has a spare, I'll say, how long was that? 2.5 hours. Sit down and watch I Love You, You Hate Me. It's a 2-part documentary on Barney. Watched it over Christmas break. It's amazing. First part is the I love you, you know, the whole beginning of it. Then it, the second part's the I hate or you hate me. And it's like how Barney is, yeah, it just drives people nuts like me. I see it and I just want to rip his head off. Yeah. Anyway, Trunks.
He was not a Barney kid.
And it
He's
shows.
Very He's very violent. Antisocial because he all of his friends are dead and he's responsible with the time travel.
Yeah, he, you know, everyone has a vice and time travel
he's
is
like
Trunks.
What if it's, more time it's, travel it's, this it's, time
he's like, you know, it's only a weekend trip. And he's like, what do you mean I killed all the dinosaurs?
And he is way less bothered in at the end of these episodes that everybody is dead except for Mai, then Mai is.
Yeah, it's like Trunks, just something about him. Everyone around him dies, but he's super strong. Super great kid, great heart. Just kind of wish he would have kept going with it and all that, you know, but we'll, you know, that's all going to change. We'll get to that. And it's funny how, like, right in the beginning, too, he's fighting, when Trunks is fighting Black and Zamasu, he resorts back. The history of the arc and everything kind of makes a good circle in this one where Trunks actually pulls out the out of his pocket a move we haven't seen in quite, I don't think, until I think it was the Frieza saga was the last time I saw it was, yeah, Trunks pulled out the old
Masenko. Oh, yeah, and we haven't seen Galagun in a while either, have we? I don't think he's used that yet.
No.
Like, and we hadn't seen Kaioken since... What the? I want to say we haven't seen that for a while. Or did Goku use that in the interdimensional tournament thing?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was the last time he.
No, I remember he does it all, in a lot of the early Dragon Ball Z movies before, like he like when he's not using Kamehameha.
Yeah, he. If I remember correctly, he can he only uses it basically when he absolutely has to because it's just it's a force multiplier, so. His body can only take so much. Yeah, that's right, because the last time he did it, he really had to pay for it. He did, I think it was Kaioken times 10. And
that's how he was able to...
He just had, like, random spasms and stuff for the next week.
That's how he was able to keep up with Hit, right? When they were fighting?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, so where did we leave off is they go back to the future and in their DeLorean... And they're fighting Goku Black and Zamasu, and then Doc Brown is there, and he gets hit by a tractor. And then we see, like, we learned that how Zamasu switched bodies with Goku in this universe, jumped over to this one, to that Zamasu, and killed Gowasu. And then they have the Operation Zero Mortals. And then that's where the... Help me out here.
You know, if Doc Brown did show up, I'm sure it would have made a lot more sense in the actual reality of this. Oh, you know, I got it off on the side plane just to help me keep track of it because there's so much that goes on in it. It's I can't wait for a 10. Anytime, that's the other thing. Anytime future Trunks shows up, everything's getting screwed. Everybody already knows that. Because, I don't know. So yeah, Zamasu, Black... Trunks fighting him. This will be probably the first time. Yeah, this will be the first time he goes back to the. Where does he go? Trunks runs into Talent Bulma. Yep. Yeah, that's right. This will be the first time that Trunks and Bulma go back to the present from Trunks' future after Trunks fights. Zamasu and Black, leaving Goku, Vegeta, Black, and Zamasu in this future. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, there. Did I confusingly clear that up?
I mean, they fight for, like, this episode, and then they go back one more time, because this is, what, their third time that they go back? Like, they jump into the future, then they fight for a bit, and then they have to jump back, and then they train for a little bit. Vegeta goes back into the hyperbolic time chamber. And starts beating up Goku Black, and then
the time chamber is always
and
that's
then he
the
blows
other stereotypical
it up, which
thing.
I'm sure
it's like,
Dende
oh, we gotta
is
get
probably
stronger.
Not that
time
happy
chamber.
About. Like, what the fuck, man?
Actually, I don't know. If I was Dende, I'd be like, oh, I mean, be pissed initially, like, dude, seriously. But no, thank you. Now I have something to do because he's just up there with Mr. Popo, It's just him and Mr. Bigly Popo. When you can only hang out with Popo and do the Popo kind of thing so many times.
I guess it might be a little bit like King Kai. If Goku didn't break all of his shit, he wouldn't have anything to do.
Yeah.
So.
And King Kai's still dead. Don't forget about that. It's Gregory, Bubbles, and King Kai. They're all still dead. I forget.
I thought it was from when he transported instant transmission cell about to explode to King Kai's planet.
Yeah.
I think he hasn't wished him back since then.
That
was so long ago.
Been a little busy with tournaments and gods and making. Is that a daiquiri that Whis was drinking? Probably. You know, he got caught up in some shit.
Yeah, so they go back. Trunks is like, I'll hold them off. You guys go, because they're pretty injured from the attacks from Goku Black and the indestructible Zamasu. Yeah.
Both. Yeah.
And so they go back to the past. Master Roshi is, they get the idea to train Goku to do the evil containment wave, which we see in a flashback was something that Master Roshi had tried to do. Did he actually succeed in trapping King Piccolo? I don't remember that.
You know, I that was Dragon Ball, and I never got into Dragon Ball. I would say it was probably unsuccessful because Piccolo even said Roshi tried it and it never showed it working. And the fact that they still had the jar and they still had the, no, actually they didn't have the seal,
which they ended up leaving in the past.
Yeah. That's like, and Roshi's calling, and who the hell did he call? Like Chi-Chi?
I don't know.
Say,
can
hey,
you call into
something?
The
like,
future?
You can't call the future.
Well, he's old. Of course he thinks that you can call into the future.
Yeah. Yeah. But still, like, the most crucial. Anyway. Yeah, Piccolo. So going back, yeah, they think the containment technique or whatever it's called is a good idea. And they're like, okay, well, let's go see Master Roshi and have him teach us. And Piccolo's like, oh no, you don't got to do that. I can teach you right now. And he gets that like so proud look on his face, and he takes a little pose. And then Goku's like, well, it's Master Roshi's technique.
Instant transmission.
And then poof, it was all like so quick, rapid fire out of his mouth, and he's like poof, leaving Piccolo stuck in that pose in front of like what, Bulma, Goten, Trunks, Chi Chi, like everybody in there. And who was it, Bulma or Chi Chi? Was like,
was
well, you
Bulma,
can still teach
because
me
then
if you want.
We get the TikTok video of Goku doing like, here's how you do the dance challenge of the evil containment wave, and he just does it successfully. Well, Bulma even says, I'll still watch you do it, Piccolo.
Oh yeah, that's right, it was Bulma, because later that comes into it, and yeah, she makes a shitty video and she's like, see, at least somebody got to watch.
I do like seeing, and he's like, Goku God practice it on Turtle, who we have not seen since I don't remember when. Garlic Jr.
That turtle's been through some
and
things.
Has a power
Let
level of one or one and a half from what I remember when they had like the scouter in DBZ.
I think it was, yeah, it was lowest setting, and that was,
yeah,
I think
it's
it
like
was half
or one and a half, something like that.
Yeah, because they even, whoever scanned it, they tapped the scouter and was like, and then it went like half and then one and then just like still with the staticky or whatever. So Goku's missing. Where was he at?
He's missing?
Oh, yeah. That's what it was. Is Goku... Oh, no, that's right. I forgot about that. That was very beginning. We breezed over that part. Goku trying to recover and everybody hiding.
Oh,
it.
Yeah, from Chi-Chi. And then she finds Goten. And because he had all those sword wounds from Goku Black in the future.
Yep. And it's like... With Chi-Chi, no matter what, you're going to get yelled at. If you try and hide something, you're going to get yelled at for that. If you just make it obvious, you're still going to get yelled at. Just go and do the damn thing. Because she's going to find out one way or another, because it takes her on, what, average of 3 days to realize that somebody in her family is missing, and then just casually strolls around like, have you seen him? No? All right. Have you? No? All right. It's a weird family.
It is, and
really
we also,
family.
I still haven't forgotten the fact that Goku and her have never kissed, but they fucked a lot, or at least twice that we know about.
Well, so a woman that breezes over foreplay. We need more women like that. Like, it takes too long to schedule.
I actually had
some
forgotten
shit
that Yamcha and Bulma used to be a thing for as long as they were.
Yeah, and then Yamcha went and got with a girl that looked exactly like Bulma, and everybody was like, hey, do you see... Oh, you do too? Okay, hey, Yamcha, you know... No, it, you say it doesn't?
They were
okay,
dating
fine.
Through the Android like, saga, right? On. And then, didn't he cheat on her or something?
Yep, because she ended up beating the shit out of
well,
him.
Well, I mean, I could beat the shit out of Yamcha.
Everyone can. And it's just like... It's like, insert... You know, smack effect and picture a dead Yamcha.
I am
here.
Doing that right now, and it gives me a lot of pleasure. Like, yep. Schadenfreude.
Then hopefully not too much, because I can only see your shoulders and your head and your beautiful
wood cabinets.
Oh, yeah,
they are
cabinets.
Very beautiful. I don't know.
What is that, pine?
It is wood. And
it's wood.
It holds...
Is it laminate?
It could be. I don't know. I hope it's not just laminate.
it's laminated cardboard.
It's my OnlyFans background. I call it
Cameron's
rustic fuckboy. Do you like it? Oh, you might actually appreciate this. Since this is an audio medium, I actually found this picture of Grandma and Grandpa from when they took us to Disney.
Oh my God.
So there's my mom, there's Grandma and Grandpa.
Whoever took the picture, you know, they're following the rule of thirds pretty good, because the whole family on one third and the other third looks like another family taking a picture.
But yeah, I found that.
Who's that? You and Aaron?
Yeah, that's Aaron and that's me. I don't know where Jeremy is.
He's the idiot taking the picture.
Probably. Ha ha.
Yeah,
that loss.
Oh, the next time you're up here, I'm going to have to show you a bunch of cool photos of Grandpa.
Oh, I'm sure you have. You have a lot of them. This is just the one that I found, because I didn't really have any good pictures of like them from when I was younger. So anyway, that directly relates to Dragon Ball Super, because
of Master Roshi, being perverted. Which our grandfather never was, ever.
He was not.
He was definitely not perverted. I always caught him watching dangling balls, though.
Dangling balls?
Yeah. He's always watching basketball.
Oh, I thought you meant like...
They say dangling, I meant dribbling.
Oh, I thought you meant like he was playing one of those cheap-ass, like, you know how Grandpa used to buy those 101 computer games for $2, and then he would buy them, like, and play the roulette game or the Spider Solitaire, and he'd be like, wow, this sure was a deal.
Yeah, I mean, well, for somebody who doesn't know games or anything like that, yeah, sure. I mean, I'll probably be like that.
He was just obsessed with having to get a deal on something. And I will say,
yeah, he was an accountant, wasn't he?
I think so.
Or something like that.
For a phone company, something like that.
Yeah.
And then he did have some good games on some of those. They weren't great, but I mean, as a 7-year-old, some of the ones where it was like, what do you mean I get to drive my car over people in this Grand Theft Auto game? That sounds pretty cool.
Oh yeah, growing up in the golden age of gaming.
Yep.
God, it was so fast. Everything was so fast. And then looking back in our generation growing up, it was the one word we always said was graphics. Like, look at the graphics, look at the graphics. And then I'm looking at stuff now, I'm like, okay, what were we so impressed about? Well, no, because it went from 16-bit to 32-bit to 64, and it's like up and up and up so fast.
Well, I don't know
it
if
was.
You remember
it's
this,
like,
but
holy shit.
When I was like maybe 9 or 10, do you remember that game? I think we were all visiting Uncle Mark and you all, and you and Matt were playing this game on N64 called Perfect Dark.
Yeah. Always playing.
Yeah,
that.
But do you remember in that it looked like the people were typing with their fists over a keyboard? Like, it looked like they were just punching like the keyboard. Like, oh no, we uncovered a malicious file.
It's actually,
yeah,
that's actually what I found a clip of not too long ago. Some I was listening to another podcast and they were mentioning N64 and how GoldenEye and Perfect Dark, everybody had it. Everybody was always playing them, and then. So I went on YouTube and started watching old gameplay footage of Perfect Dark. Holy hell. Like, yeah, everything's still so blocky. Mouths didn't move. How can you pull the trigger if you don't, if you can't, if you don't have a finger? So much of it didn't make sense. But yeah, like you're saying, 7 year old, it's like you're still into it. And then now it's crazy that you could just go to a store and get a 4K monitor for $100.
Yeah. But, well, I remember playing GoldenEye. And I promise we'll get back to talking about the subject of the show at some point. But
well, yeah. This episode, that episode's over. 63, we hit credits on that one.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I got to scroll down for that. But I remember playing GoldenEye as like a kid and everybody knew all the spawn points. And you would just spawn and automatically die. It's not fun to play against someone. It's like playing against the rich kid who has the magic card deck, who has like the BFG or all the foil cards, because it's just not balanced. If you have the money to buy all the booster packs and you have,
yeah, but in Perfect Dark, what you could do is not necessarily camp at the spawn points. You get the laptop gun and stick it on the wall near one. That way you could still, you get double XP. Your laptop gun's acting as a sentry gun over here. Meanwhile, you're up on the second level in the corner trying to track down your other buddy. You get him, then one spawns, boom, it's over. Plus, even if you get one kill, they spawn at that one. If they spawn at that one spawn point, you get double. And you didn't do anything. Yeah, I played it just a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. I remember playing Pokemon Stadium, too. And Pokemon Snap. Not a good game.
Snap sucked. I remember seeing it in Blockbuster playing, and I'm like, oh, it's a game where you take pictures of Pokemon. That's stupid.
All because of one episode of the original Pokemon series where there's some dipshit guy who likes to, I like to take pictures of Pokemon. And I'm like, yeah, everybody's going to have a phone, dumbass. And then... Well, I know they didn't know, everybody didn't have phones, but it's like, what?
Everything now, like, it's, oh my God. Like, I'll still, what is it? The original Game Boy's under my bed. And no, I can't find a Pokemon game. Actually, I think there is one in there. And I went, yeah. Just something about firing up an old Game Boy. Like, not the 3DS and stuff's cool now, but the old, what was that? I think that was 8-bit graphics on that.
Yeah, that's what I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, and then did you know the names, the Tetris blocks have names?
No, I didn't. They have, I thought they were just block one, block two, block three.
Nope, they actually have names. I saw this on the internet the other day. Yeah, they have names like, crap, that's not it. Yeah, everyone thinks it's like J block, L block, S block, whatever, but no, it's like Lefty Randy and Sideways Sally and stuff like that. It's really stupid.
That is, sounds not that great.
No, because it just, it doesn't hit the tongue the right way. It's like, what the hell? Tetris blocks have names and 9 other fun facts about the, and then it can be used to treat or prevent PTSD. Wow. Okay. I mean, sure.
I didn't know Tetris had such a reputation.
No. I didn't either, but if, you know, if it was me, I'd still take the psilocybin therapy over Tetris therapy because.
But you know what I do stuff. Know? That this show is about Dragon Ball Super.
It is about Dragon
Speaking
Ball Super.
Speaking of Dragon Ball Super, Vegeta comes back real powerful and starts kicking the shit out of Goku Black and 64. Speaking of 64, there's N64s, which is what we talked about. But since this isn't a show about Nintendo, this is a show about.
Yeah, but it was a totally relevant thing because, you know, N64, episode 64, relatively rewinding.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Like the one on your Laserdisc player.
You got Dragon Ball on Laserdisc?
Like the one you have on HD DVD. Like the one you have on Betamax. I'm trying to cover my bases here, Kevin. Come on.
You really are, yeah. You forgot the original VHS, though, and then they did have an HD VHS.
Oh, they did? That's right.
Yeah, and it was actually better than DVD. It just was not cost-effective, because then you'd have to, it was, I forget how it was. It was like there was too much cost in the reel or something like that, well, because there's silver in the reel, so I can see that.
Yeah, I used to record when I couldn't watch Dragon Ball Z on Toonami after school sometimes. I remember buying blank VHS tapes from like Walmart or something, and then just hit it, like setting the record for like 2 hours so that I could get access to all the episodes with like the commercials. And then I'd come back, and on the weekend I would like queue up the episodes and watch them on the that I had recorded.
Yeah, that way you're not the one kid who's so far behind that go to school on Monday and hear like Goku became a Super Saiyan, and you're like, okay, cool, like he already was, and they're like, no, but his hair's yellow. Like, what?
No, I didn't watch it.
You don't be that kid.
I didn't want to be that kid. That's why I did what I did.
You got to be current when it came to the Z.
So I love that when they come back to the future, Bulma brought a Capsule Corp garage with her, because as soon as they land and get out of the time machine, Goku Black just basically blows it up, and he's like, that's the last time you're gonna run away from us, mortals.
Out of every, and I love how, I mean, it's good thinking of her, but then as usual, it's like, you kind of halfway thought that through, because yeah, garage will help shelter you, but that's nothing more than a case band, so it's aluminum. When you've got guys basically throwing nukes at each other, I don't think distance is key there.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, because like in some of these episodes, some of the resistance fighters and Trunks, Mai, and Bulma are like, let's just hide in the garage. And I'm like, this isn't like a nuclear bomb shelter or something. This is like a fucking garage. Yeah. What are you talking about?
It's like at one of those garages you see at like for the commercials that come up during a football game or something. It's like, have you ever wanted to build a garage in a weekend, but you don't know how to swing your hammer? Oh, you can still screw one together if you buy this instant pop-up piece of shit. And it's like, okay, that's just military surplus shit that fucking sucks anyway. It's going to flop over on the first fucking heavy wind. Did you know you got to ground it and anchor it? No, you're not just putting it together. Yeah, it's a piece of shit. I've had experience on them. They suck. So, Bulma, you're a dumbass.
And the bullet that she made that's supposed to be faster than
it's a high kinetic round, which the only way, I don't know how she could do that. I mean, just means it hits really, really hard. It'd be like Tyson punching an infant is basically what she made.
Or like a beanbag round from a shotgun that uses to like, because like not like less lethal, you could still kill somebody if you hit him in the wrong place with it, but.
That would be the stomach, for those that don't know.
Oh, the stomach?
Yep.
I mean, if you hit them hard enough in the chest and they have a heart problem.
No, but you always got to figure, you always got to figure something you're shooting at, always imagine that they're armored, and then, which in most cases they are anyway, because your rib cage is there. So, but yeah, when it comes to something soft like that, you want soft on soft for most effective. So even if somebody is wearing like a flak jacket or something like that, it cuts off just after the belly button. If you hit them in that soft spot of like, what is that? Like the pelvic area, you get a beanbag there. It'll kill them from fucking internal bleeding.
Ew.
Yeah. Cause it's all soft beanbag hitting soft skin on top of soft, basically. Yeah. All guts. That's all your intestines in there. You're going to be shitting blood and then die.
Sounds like a wonderful Wednesday night.
It does. God, I miss range day. We would have
to get back out there.
We'd have a lot less of a homeless problem, you know, if we brought back Range Day Wednesday. Just saying. It's been a minute.
Or we could give them jobs.
You know, yeah. The world needs ditch diggers.
And teachers and mental health care and
a lot of
the other things that they need.
There's a lot of power lines around here that keep getting broken with a high wind. If somebody can bury those, that'd be great.
While Goku Black is fighting Vegeta, he gets a scythe that immediately goes away after he uses it, because Zamasu goes to destroy Trunks and the time machine. He goes off by himself because he's like, I'm invincible. What do I need? what do I need to worry about that for? And so he doesn't know about the evil containment wave. Trunks tries to do it. It succeeds. Zamasu's really taken off guard by it. He's put inside of the plum container, but as we mentioned, they forgot the charm or
the ever important. Yep, the ever important charmed seal. Oh, but it's a good thing I'm leaving the episode's running and it's right where we're talking about. Similarly, right where we're talking about, because we can't forget that we are timestamp of 5 minutes and 20 seconds into episode 64, the Yajirobe and Trunks kiss.
Oh, yeah. How romantic.
He thinks it's Mai because it would make sense. In the dream, she's chewing up the sensu bean and giving it to him in his mouth. And then he wakes it up and it's Yajirobe standing over him. And he's like, please tell me you didn't actually do it. And he goes, no, the kids thought it'd be a good idea to grind it up and slip it in your mouth. He's like, I'm not that way, man, but I like you and all, but no. It's really awkward. I would not want to see Yajirobe up over me, or like, I don't want to see what he looked like in real life at all.
Me neither. So tries the evil containment wave. Zamasu's in the bottle, vase, container,
the vessel
thing. Yeah, that thing. And then they're like, oh man. And then he gets out almost instantly, but it like dampens his power. And so sensing that his power disappeared and then rapidly reappeared, Goku Black's like, and then he instantly closes the thing, gets rid of the scythe, and then Goku and Vegeta instant transmission to the place. And then they decide, Zamasu and Goku Black decide to fuse to become whatever we want to call them. What are we calling them?
Zamasu.
Oh, just Zamasu.
Yeah.
Goku Blasamasu.
And let me just especially address this. Not everyone. I had to really think about this. But if you go back and think about it, a lot of the villains, the higher up in power they are, the more feminine they become. Think about
With Frieza, yeah.
Okay, yeah, Frieza. Not necessarily the succeeding forms.
Cell,
definitely. Cell is exactly where I was going with it, because Cell kept on, like... Yeah, he had like the more masculine poses and stuff like that. He did a lot of the hero poses, but the way he talked, like he let his hand kind of droop over, and he was always talking about how beautiful he was and how perfect he was. Frieza never really said much about how beautiful he was, but he was very, everyone was like, is that a boy? Is it a girl? I mean, everybody always asked that, and they probably still do. And then here, Zamasu fuses with himself, but it's not really himself because he's possessing a mortal Goku body. And immediately out of his mouth, how beautiful he is. And that's going to start a trend. The next couple episodes we're going to talk about, he keeps it going. Every single time he does like knock somebody down or something like that, he's like, yep, you can't question how beautiful I am. Nobody's referring to your beauty at all. You're the only
Except
one talking
for you,
about
yeah.
it. Like, it's really off-putting. Knock it off. Actually,
stop it.
Gosu does bring it up later, but that's a long explanation of why. Didn't Mai and Bulma even know? I'm just referring back to that high kinetic energy bullet. Did Mai and Bulma even know that Zamasu is indestructible?
I think they knew that, but well, I think Mai knows it because Trunks knows it. I think that because she shot Goku Black, so the idea was they could at least kill one of them because she feels really frustrated that Trunks is the only one of the resistance that can actually hold his own against them.
Yeah, and so as Zamasu, right on brand and right on, you know, scripted eating bad guy brand, he goes into a monologue. We already talked about it. We say that the time machine got destroyed, so everyone's kind of screwed again.
Well, it wasn't destroyed, it was really damaged and set on fire. Bulma brought the repair stuff and the capsule corp things.
That's right. I couldn't remember if it was a repair job or a total like redo and just use it as scrap.
Well, and then she distracts Zamasu with, you know, her charms.
Yeah, she gets super, super flirty. That slut Bulma never dies. And I don't think it ever will. I mean, it's a quick Google search away. But
and it definitely didn't work.
No, it did not work. Because she went a little too hard with it. The Dragon Balls of that future timeline are destroyed, too.
Yeah, so there's no way to wish anybody back.
Yeah, this Zamasu really thought of everything, or at least he thought he did. Gosu shows up in the future. I forget how. And he goes into
the
a
time ring. He got the time ring out of it because he felt responsible for that Zamasu, the one that's in Goku Black's body from the other timeline. That ends up fucking shit up.
He shows up.
He's talking to Zamasu, and then everybody's like, no, he's actually in my body over there. He's like, oh my.
Oh, that's right. I forgot how that would all work out.
I guess we learned that the earrings work more like fusion than unless a Supreme Kai is involved, in which case the
fusion's permanent.
The fusion's permanent. Unless you can Dragon Ball wish it undone like they did.
So the Patara earrings are an hour of fusion, and they fuse one way. If you do the fusion technique, that's a half an hour, and it fuses a different way. By that, I mean when you do the Patara earrings, it's Vegito. And then when they do fusion, it's Gogeta. And Vegito's more Vegeta dominant. Gogeta's more Goku dominant. I don't know how that all works in a power struggle. You hear both voices simultaneous, which... Hey, sound editor for the show, I bet that part sucks. Trying to get two people to talk in the same rhythm, the same lines, the same cadence, and then get the same a similar sound wave. Oh, God, that had to suck.
I'm sure it does. Thankfully, they because of how high the power level is, because they kicked the shit out of Zamasu.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, and
that was so satisfying. I loved it.
It was one of the quickest introductions to a new form, too, because they're like, oh, I'm Gogeta, and then here's a new, if that's not enough, here, poof, Gogeta blue, like, literally just that fast. Like, okay, thanks, that's all we needed.
It's not the first time we've seen Vegito.
No, it's not, but it's...
Oh, the first blue Vegito that we
have. Yeah, that's what I mean, is like, it wasn't a big production of like, we're so strong together, but then we're going to be super strong as blue. Like, no, it was just like, hey, quick transformation, over, awesome. That's all we needed. All
right, so they get the upper hand with merged Zamasu, but then the earrings split Vegeta and Goku apart because, according to Gosu, he said something about how the power levels that they were operating at overwhelmed the earrings, the Patara earrings, and made it so that they had to split apart. So then Trunks comes back and blocks some of Merged Zamasu's attacks. And then, well, I like Merged Zamasu's attacks, like all that weird, funky holy lightning and...
Yeah, they did.
Zeus deity balls or whatever he's like throwing at him.
I have them written down in here somewhere, but yeah, I mean, a lot of them are like so self-righteous though. Like it's, I wish I would have highlighted these. Yeah, I think one of them is like ultimate righteousness or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds like him.
But yeah, Vegeta's little rant before they fuse, he goes on to tell Zamasu how he has no idea what he's really doing. Because he's possessing the body of a Saiyan, and you can't unlock it without knowing how he does one of those big rays. Which, I mean, and it normally kind of breeze over, but that one had my interest. It wasn't just passive listening on that one.
Yeah, he does have a lot of meaningless jibber jabber sometimes, but this one, it actually kind of made sense. It's like, oh yeah, you're just an interloper. You didn't actually build those muscles, get those scars, take those punches, bleed that blood.
Yeah, he called him an imposter.
Mm-hmm. Which he is.
He absolutely is. He tried to cheat, just like Ginyu tried to cheat. And all cheaters get caught eventually. And
turned into a frog.
Yep. And this is the one time where, like, as Vegeta was going on that rant, I'm like, okay, say it. Say it. It's there. I know it's going to say it. And then he did at the very end to find, like, put the period on it. Pulls out, I'm the prince of all Saiyans. Yeah, I'm Prince Vegeta. As he just, I remember, yeah, they were sitting down and leaning up against the building, and he just, like, uppercutted him right through the building or something.
So then Vegeta and Goku separated, try to take on Merged Zamasu. And some of his, like, lightning attacks, which are pretty devastating, and some exploding lightning bolt holy things, like the red energy bolts that are there that are kind of delayed and then blow things up. something like that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. I'm still looking through where those. I had those names written down. They were really cool names. Oh yeah, did you notice the on and off, Super Saiyan 1, Super Saiyan 2 Trunks?
Yeah, I did. It just kind of gear shifted. They didn't even really comment on it.
No, it was like sometimes, like if it was just real quick, okay, I'll go and do this for you. It was Super Saiyan, but then if it was his little overly emotional rage shit, then it was straight to Super Saiyan 2. And a lot of the angles, whoever the new animator is for Super, get your angles down a little bit, because at one angle, one shot, his hair's like 6 inches long, and then it cuts to like a backward looking shot and it's like hair's 2 feet long. It's like, yep, that's Super Saiyan 2. No question.
Yeah, we have to be able to tell.
Yeah.
Come on.
We need to. I mean, the together. Spikiness versus just the uppity. Yeah.
So Merge Zamasu manages to basically break both of Vegeta and Goku's arms when they go to punch him, which looked really gross. If you remember that part, the
which one?
They basically, where Goku and Vegeta are attacking Merge Zamasu from both sides, and then he grabs both of their arms and basically like crushes and breaks their arms, and you can see some of the...
Oh, the jelliness?
Yeah, the jelliness and the blood and the screams.
I always find that so funny. Again, these guys are basically throwing nukes at each other, and the body's like kind of more or less okay, and then just... When they get hand to hand, there's a lot of heavy blows, and when they hit, it's hard, but it's not that bad. But then when they're just talking, like when it was Frieza and Goku, and Frieza gave Goku a shot right in the breadbasket, and you could see it punch out the other side. Like, okay, that one hit's harder than a Kamehameha. All of a sudden, it's funny how that the physics of all that worked out. And then there was one quick spot I got a note here, where Zamasu, when he's going on this whole rant about, oh, I'm sword and shield in one, which he really is because he's perfect offense, perfect defense, and he's hovering and up there, and the cool symbol behind him, all that. I forget the exact line, but it was really Ghostbuster-esque because of the color schemes and everything that was going on, and it was, it was just really cool how it was like, are you a god? No. Then die. Kind of feel to it. And then Trunks shooting purple blast didn't really help. I was like, yep, okay, don't cross the street. Oh, wait, wrong show.
Well, and then they spend the next part of the episode exchanging furious energy blasts at one another, like Trunks using Gallic Gun against the holy almighty smiting thing or whatever the fuck, like Merge Zamasu is throwing his way. And then there's the one that Goku fires back, like fires Kamehameha back at him, which then cuts back to him, and half of Zamasu looks like he's melting purple people eater man.
Oh yeah, that's what Goku and Zamasu locked in a blast struggle. Then there's a giant flash cut to credits, open episode 66. Yeah, then at when Zamasu, it's shown that Goku overpowered him and Zamasu basically took the brunt of that blast. Half of him's, because he looked just like normal Zamasu overall until that blast happened. Then he gets, it was his right side.
Yeah.
Became all purple. And from that point on, it's just like it's more melted, more grotesque. Even the Zamasu side of him starts like slipping and getting like, really, I don't know, there's a word for it. Grotesque, I already said it, but it's like it's weird. And there, Goasu, this is the beginning of episode 66, but at near the end of this episode, Goasu goes on to explain what's going on there. And of all the long speeches throughout what I've seen in Dragon Ball, what I've seen every episode of Dragon Ball Z, and in this one, all the monologues and explanations of stuff, this one, episode 66, is one that is like the deepest, the most like grab your attention. Holy shit. I'm holding on to every word out of every single one. It's worth listening to. It's really, really deep.
Is it the one about how half of the body is now destructible because he merged with Goku Black?
No, that part was always kind of there, but no, it was how, like, how Zamasu's slipping and becoming, like, more melted and more grotesque and bulgy and all that shit throughout this episode. Gosu explains that's how, that's Zamasu's inner self coming out. Like, as he's losing, he's seen himself as ugly, he's seen himself, weaker, so that's his body showing that, like, how he's feeling about himself inside is coming out wrong, like, physically.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, as he's losing, he's becoming more ugly because he's losing confidence in himself. The whole thing is deep in this episode. So this is one of the first times we have a team of baddies, and it really is. If you think about it, going back, how many duos or trios, how many groups of bad guys were there?
The Ginyus.
Even before that, start at the very beginning of Dragon Ball Z. Go through the bad guys. You got Rat.
Well, I can tell you some from Dragon Ball. Even there's the Red Ribbon Army.
Yep.
Are you talking about just twos or threes?
Yeah, just mainly twos or threes. But if you go back from Z, you start with Raditz by himself. Then he tells of
Vegeta, Nappa.
Yep. So there's your first pairing. Then it goes down to Frieza shows up with the army and group, but that doesn't really count. The Ginyu Force.
King Cold and Frieza.
Yep, Ginyu Force counts because that was a whole group to fight. Then King Cold and Frieza, like you said, and then
The Androids.
Doctors.
17 and 18. Well, 19 and 20, and then 17, yep. 18, and 16.
I was trying to remember the numbers of it as I was watching it earlier. I'm like, okay, it was 17, 18, 16. What was the stupid white one? And then, yeah, 19, 20. 19. And Jiro was 20, yep.
And then Cell was not two.
Yeah, Cell was one. And then Majin Buu was one.
Well, it's Babidi and Deburra, I guess, because Majin Buu isn't around.
Yep, okay, you're right. I forgot about that pairing.
Well, and then there's Spopovich and Yamu, the two Babidi spell guys that were in the World Tournament Saga that Videl fought.
But though they didn't have their own, like, arc or their own plan. That was a tournament situation.
I mean,
but yeah,
there was
a
two of
yep,
them.
You're right. There was a pairing there. So yeah, Project Zero Mortals, it can never happen because as long as Zamasu's alive, there is one mortal. The half of him, that's Goku Black. That gets explained, which we all knew that, but that was just like Goku trying to have his moment. And it was, even the music was like epic, like he's building up. Goku's smart, he's great, he's powerful, he's got the edge, and then Zamasu gradually beats him down, and it's like, hey, I thought of that. Oh, that? You think you're smart? I thought of that too. Hey, you're just a simple-minded Saiyan. And then, yeah, flashback to like 7 or 10 episodes ago where Goku, everything out of his mouth made him sound like he was definitely on the spectrum. He's not too far off. He's kind of on it.
So Trunks is broken. Like at some point in the fight earlier in the episodes that we watched, the Z sword breaks while he's fighting Goku Black before they both merge. And then he uses the energy of all the remaining mortals to believe really hard in himself, Wizard of Oz style, and learns that the real strength was the friends he made along the way. And then the Z sword and everybody's energy, like, joins together and makes a spirit bomb and in the sky, and then he flings it at Zamasu, and then he uses his sword, which has a whole bunch of really cool colors, and then it cuts Zamasu in half.
Yeah, that whole sequence there, I was watching Trunks. Okay, so from the time he's with Mai, he's got the broken Z sword, which, yeah, I forgot how it got broken anyway, too. And then he basically like starts smiling, and it fixes itself, and then he's like, oh, this is the key to it all, blah 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 blah. And then yeah, he does the whole spirit bomb thing, and the whole time I'm like, okay, this is very spirit bomb-esque. He's taking energy from everybody and using it. Okay, so this is, who taught him this? Because Goku doesn't exist in his future, Gohan's dead, and Goku never taught Gohan how to do a spirit bomb. So how in the hell does Trunks make a spirit sword?
What is the origin of the Z sword anyway?
A King Arthur kind of deal. Sword and a stone. Only the purest of heart can wield it. It's like mixed King Arthur, and Thor's hammer, the lore of those two, mix them together.
Okay, well then maybe he doesn't have to know how to do it. He just does it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Goku and Trunks are like the most caring and the most, I don't want to say emotionally vulnerable, but kind of up there because Gohan is either dead or hitting the books too hard. So.
Or hitting the books too hard while dead.
He can do that too. Actually,
Not unlike the guy from that Twilight Zone episode with the broken glasses.
New style or old style?
Old style.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
It's a classic. I'm sure you've seen or heard of it.
Yeah, I definitely have.
It's called Time Enough at Last.
Yeah, I have heard of that one, actually. So this is where, like I said earlier, this is one of the few times where Trunks is not purple. Trunks actually glows white, and the sword is glowing yellow. So it's a Super Saiyan sword, which I'm surprised I got through saying that so quick. And then Trunks is just white, but he's still Super Saiyan. So it's like Super Saiyan 1 Goku fighting Frieza in original Z. It was really, really weird. But, I mean, it was cool. And everyone was said that they were covered. Oh, yeah, all the people, all the civilians and all that crap. They're like, what's going on? What is this? Am I glowing? And they're like, no, this is some kind of pixie dust. Okay, Spirit Bomb doesn't usually do that, but I thought that was worth mentioning.
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't it gather some energy? It gathers a lot of life force from the things on the planet. Like, from the Kid Buu saga, I remember they chose that, like, an abandoned planet, not Earth, but something where Vegeta and Goku, after they go inside Majin Buu's head, after they get eaten by him and turned into candy, they go inside, like, they basically turn him into Kid Buu by taking some of the, I don't remember exactly what, but then they go to acid. But then I remember the Spirit Bomb 2 or whatever they called it, is taking the life force from all, like, the plants and animals from this abandoned planet that they're fighting on.
Yeah, they wanted such a strong attack that they resorted to a dying planet because they knew they were going to destroy it in the process. Yeah, something like that. So I thought it was funny how, and I'm sure you did too, the way that Trunks split Zamasu. Now, Trunks, he's a great swordsman and all, but the physics of it doesn't really make sense. Okay, if you remember when Mechanical Frieza, or whatever you want to call him. Trunks does a downward swipe on him, right? Which most people would do because that you're getting gravity plus strength to assist it. You're getting a good, you know, slice. But Trunks slices this guy slowly and it seems like intentionally because he's like staring at him in his eyes while he's fighting. Like you could see his shoulders coming up. He needs so much more strength. He sliced him from gooch to brain. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
A little more sadistic than Trunks usually is. And then at the beginning of episode 67, even Goku says, I've never seen a spirit bomb in a sword before. So it confirms it right there that it was actually a spirit bomb, a spirit sword, whatever. Oh, so remember when Goku Black, he had that scythe and he like sliced into the sky? And it was that red CGI kind of, whatever happened to that?
They never came back to it.
Yeah, they never did.
Goku Black he's like, oh no, Zamasu's in trouble. I better go find my counterpart. And then he leaves and the tear closes.
Oh, okay.
And that's it. Yeah, he goes to aid Zamasu right before they fuse together with the earrings. And then we never see that again. He gets the scythe, he opens it up, he duplicates himself. And then he's like, oh no, I forgot my dentist appointment. And then he, you know.
Yeah, I just thought it was like, as soon as they did that and Goku Black was like, I don't even know what that is. My mind immediately went to Doctor Who. And I don't know if you watch it or if you keep up with it. But okay, so yeah, the time tear that took like 3 seasons to get to. My mind immediately, as soon as I saw that red tear and Goku Black's like, oh, I don't even know what that is. I'm like, so that's what, oh, this is not Doctor Who.
Which season? Because there's a lot of it.
Oh, man, it was,
Rift in Torchwood,
I think it was Matt Smith.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of time
because
Tara Stuff and Matt Smith.
Yeah, because at one point he sees like a little bit of static in the corner of a hallway or something like that, and he's like, it's the end of an episode, and he like goes over to it and reaches his hand in to this like staticky portal or whatever, and pulls out a piece of the TARDIS.
Oh, yeah, that's like season 7 or something.
Yeah,
I think
it was definitely a good Matt Smith, that arc, but like a good storyline for him to follow. Matt Smith's a really good emotional actor. Not so good in anything else. The guy does not have eyebrows.
No, he does not.
It's very weird. He did very good as I'm trying to remember who he was. He played in The Crown. Yeah, on Netflix, the series The Crown. He played one of the princes or something like that.
He also played Skynet in Terminator, in like the recent, not the last Terminator movie, but the one before that, Terminator Genesis. He played the embodiment of Skynet.
Oh God, perfect.
Which
person
is something
for it.
I love. I he gets to have that on his resume forever. He played Skynet.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and watch that. Yeah, I didn't know about that.
It's bad. I mean, most of the Terminator movies after 2 were bad, but this one was ridiculously bad.
So it made your list for your other podcast kind of bad.
No, not that kind of bad. I just liked it. It was like, wow, what a swing and a miss. It was less like, this is a shameless cash grab, and it's more like, well, at least they tried something.
I was going to say, if you're putting Matt Smith in the same list category as Carrot Top, I may have to smack you.
Oh, have you listened to our Carrot Top episode?
No, unless you're referring to the Chairman of the Board one.
Yes, that is the Chairman of the Board.
Yeah, but I still like Chairman of the Board. That was a fun movie.
I don't like that movie. It's so aggressively.
I know, it was over the top. But it was like, it's just, if it comes on, I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch this shit. Because it's a fun embodiment of, what was that, the early 2000s? Late 90s?
I think it was 90s.
It was a perfect, like, fun movie. Like, if I came over to your place or whatever, and we're like, oh, what's there? Okay. If we're sitting around like, let's put on a movie just as background noise to maybe passively watch. Okay, yeah, Chairman of the Board will have you laughing. Or at least me. You already did a whole explanation, a whole another podcast of why you don't like it. But
but it's such a sensory overload.
It is. But putting Carrot Top in the same category type as Tom Green, okay, I'll give you that one. But Freddy never did get fingered. So, just saying.
That, I mean,
whatever that guy, whatever character Tom Green played in Fred Got Fingered, that should be like filing a false report. You know? And did that guy's leg ever get professionally looked at? Because,
well,
damn.
Carrot Top never jerked off an elephant on screen. And Tom Green never designed a lie-detecting fart suit.
Lie-detecting farts. Oh.
In Chairman of the Board.
I was trying to remember how it worked.
He's like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I was trying to remember how that worked. I'm like, they could tell you're lying by your farts? No, when you lie, it makes a fart. Yeah. Yeah, the end was just so bad and so stupid. It was like the end of Grandma's Boy. Like, here, try this, and this will be important later.
Yeah.
Yeah, typical. Yeah. Oh, it was good. It was, yeah, I'm still going to argue with you. It's still a good movie. Still a good movie.
I don't know about good.
Better than Son-in-Law.
I never saw it, so.
You probably never saw Son-in-Law? Oh my God, you got to see Son-in-Law.
Is that Pauly Shore?
That is the Pauly Shore one. The classic one where he's hijacking a tractor and playing Thank God I'm a Country Boy. Yeah. Fucks up the whole farm.
Oh, South Dakota.
What?
It takes, Son-in-Law takes place in South Dakota.
Ah. The one chick he's with then.
Oh,
that
no,
movie.
She's from South Dakota, and they go to Los Angeles. Anyway, this is a podcast about Dragon Ball Super, which we're currently not talking about.
So Goku and Vegeta are too drained to go blue or even Super Saiyan, leaving Trunks to have the only ability to go Super Saiyan. So he, for the third time, it seems like, in this episode series, that it's up to him to save the day again.
We should
future.
Mention that after Merge Zamasu and Goku Black's body is destroyed, he becomes a giant cloud, like, essence that overcasts the entire planet.
Yeah.
And has, like, a mischievous, like, face, because he's still immortal.
Yep, it's just like, it's just a cloud of Zamasu faces. The regular Zamasu, though.
Yes.
No eyeballs, just eyes. Lifeless eyes, like a doll's eyes. Anyway, it was lifeless. It was just a picture. It was a really bad gif, if you think about
it. Yeah, so they try to use energy blasts on the corporeal ether that is now Zamasu that takes over all of Earth. And that Zamasu kills the rest of the survivors off, the rest of the rebels off screen. Because
yeah, everybody that participated in that spirit sword got killed for it, except for everyone that basically is a good main character. And when Mai realizes that every soldier she saved and all that, all of her friends are dead, she gets a bit of a dirty mouth, which is the third time this has happened. They actually start getting a little bit sweary. Mai calls Zamasu a son of a bitch.
Vegeta called someone a son of a bitch earlier.
Yep, in the last episode. And then they say damn like two times. But I get this. I get she's worked up and she's emotional. But hey, bitch, a shotgun's only good for 60 yards at the very most. You're shooting at the sky. What the fuck are you doing?
Hey, she must be from Florida, because people in Florida love shooting at weather phenomenon.
Oh my God, yeah, they do. I mean, anytime you see a headline that starts with Florida man, you're in for a ride. That's a story you need to read on the shitter.
I am very pro Second Amendment. Please stop shooting at the hurricane. You're not gonna stop it.
No, if anything, you're just throwing lead into 200-mile-an-hour
wind. You're gonna kill some poor, like,
a woman in Miami.
Yeah,
a woman in Miami shoots a shotgun into a fucking tornado or a hurricane, whatever, right? So it goes down, it's cruising along westerly, it's cruising along, it's all this shotgun fucking shot in it, right? And then it cruises up the coast, and now it's into Georgia, and then it hits just on the coast, and that shotgun shot going 200 miles an hour flies through a fucking baby's head. Hey, bitch, just because you're in Miami and it doesn't mean that that kid dying from your shotgun didn't, you know, coincide there. So because now it's across state lines, oh, that's a federal offense. You're going away for a long time.
I mean, in Mai's defense, though, there is literally nobody left to kill.
Yes, there is nobody left. Yeah.
When there is nobody else around,
you push the button for Zenny.
Yes, you pushed the Zenny button. I had forgotten what that was, because Goku, what is he looking for in his pockets? Like more Senzu beans? And then
he was looking for another Senzu bean, hoping that, hoping against hope that there was one there. But he finds the button for Zenny,
and or the Grand Zeno, whatever. The Zenny from Future Trunks' timeline.
Yes.
Who doesn't know Goku. And he like hugs him, you know, the master of the universe, basically. And he's like, I don't know you. Who are you?
And he just molests him right away. Like, well, he did that when they first met, too, didn't he?
I don't think he did it when they first met. I think it was...
No, he hugged him.
He hugged him, yes.
Yeah, so he did... he assaulted him in this one. This one, he molested him because he thought... Yeah, you're right.
It was like the second time when they meet, and he's like, you're funny, Goku. I like you. I hope that you can find somebody to play with me that's as fun as you are.
And, yeah... That's right. He did pull that one all the way through like that. But yeah, I find it. I mean, Goku already knowing how Zenny works and his personality after hanging with him for a couple of times, he played into it, and he's just like, hey, that guy up there in the sky, he's really bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, or whatever. Zenny even asks, he's like, did you do all this? Referring to, like,
The total destruction. Yeah,
the total destruction and desolation. He's like, no, I didn't do most of this.
Yeah, he's like, I'm the good guy. The guy up there, he's the one that did it all. And he goes, well, he must be destroyed. It's like watching a conversation with toddlers. Or like I guess toddlers, whenever kids start talking and they figure out how words work and then communication works, watching a conversation like that, one, like maybe a half step up from that, was like watching that conversation amongst two, there's no way to put it, mentally retarded people, Zenny and Goku. But yeah, so Zenny,
I would reframe that as just, it's two people that need
attention.
Well, in Goku and
a helmet,
I'd say people that need to reduce everything down to bad guy go get.
Yes.
Okay, me go get.
So basically every single instruction that's given to a Marine. Yep, break it down Barney style. The fewest words possible. Bad guy, kill. Okay.
Will do, cock gun. Many like it. This one mine.
Give me bullet. I go kill. Oh, here, I hungry.
Plus bullet.
I hungry. Give me crayon. So as Zenny is like getting himself worked up or whatever, he's just standing there by himself with his arms like half up. Goku's like, hey guys, we should probably take off now. So he gets everyone in the time, or he gets Bulma, Mai, and
Trunks into the time machine.
So
he and Vegeta are hanging onto the legs of the time machine. Gowasu and the Supreme Kai use the time ring to jump back to their timeline.
Yep. So this is Mai. This is her first time going to the past / present. So now you have future Trunks, future Mai, kid Trunks, kid Mai. So you have 40-year-old, 9-year-old Mai, and then you have 60-year-old, 40-year-old Mai. Actually, no, it'd be 60-year-old, 20-year-old Mai. Visibly legal, let's call it that way, because the other one's not. The other one is go to school, kid, but not really. You're 40. Show me your license, please. Just once. Anyway, it's a whole nother conversation that we've already had. Fucking confusing.
And somebody, so young Mai has crush on big Trunks. Little Trunks has crush on big Mai. And then Whis and Beerus are talking about, because they obviously can't stay in the past forever because they already, you know, fucked up everything in their own timeline, so they've got to put him somewhere. Beerus is it Whis or Beerus that is going to go to the past in that timeline and get Gowasu to like Whis. To kill
both. It was both of them. So basically, everything that they just did was going to be undone, to be redone, to be undone, to be prevented. Because of how time works with the whole Zamasu still being alive in the present. So they have to destroy him, but they don't know at what point he became invincible or indestructible. So if they go after the present one now, it may not work and spark everything up again. So the best way to do it is containment. So Whis knows something stronger than a containment spell, so he's going to go do that, but even that might not work. And Beerus was even saying like something to the effect of, however this turns out is how it's going to turn out. It's not for us to worry about. And it's like, then what is the point?
I thought there was a...
The takeaway is time shit's done. Oh, wait. No, it's not. One more. Wasn't it? One more thing with time. Because finish what you were saying, though. They were saying that future Mai and future Trunks can't stay there. So how did that go?
So they're going to put them, I don't know how it was going to work, but basically they were going to go into the Trunks' future timeline, that timeline, and kill that Zamasu before he becomes, before he destroys the Dragon Balls and wishes to be indestructible or invincible or whatever, and before he switches bodies with Goku.
Right.
Well, no, no, he's going to stop the Zamasu that was recruited by Goku Black to go get the Super Dragon Balls and wish to be invincible, because the Zamasu that was the one that traded bodies with Goku was the one from the alternate timeline to the one that they're in. Because the one that Beerus killed made it so that there was another timeline where that Zamasu wasn't stopped, where Goku went and fought him and went the wrong way. So that's the one that diverged and became Trunks' future. And so once he switches bodies with Goku and kills everybody, he goes to Trunks' universe, because they're the paired like universes. He jumps over to that one, destroys the Dragon Balls, gets that Zamasu to get the Super Dragon Balls to wish to be invincible, and then it's like Operation Zero Mortals. So they're going to jump over to that one so that that Zamasu can't wish to be invincible or whatever and kill him before he can actually wish for anything. And that way the future timeline is restored. There is a version of Trunks and Mai there, and Whis asks if they're okay with coexisting on the same planet with them, with another version of themselves, and they say, yeah, okay. Following that?
Yeah, so the whole point of that is, this is the last time we're going to have to do these dumb explanations. The last time we have to bust out the old Capsule Corp whiteboard and do all these doodles, because Trunks, fuck off, take your bitch with you, don't ever, ever fucking come back again. Either
until next season.
Yeah, Jesus. They're going to have to. And this isn't, you know, just a quick done send off. It's all emotional. Everyone's saying goodbye to future Trunks.
Yeah, because he sees, future Trunks sees Gohan, who dies in the history of Trunks.
I do like the way that they did it, right? Okay, so they're going to this future where everyone they know is still alive, but they can't be around them and or the other alternate versions of themselves. Because of the whole time loop and explanations and all that crap again. So they're saying goodbye on the ground to everyone. And as they're ascending, that's when they see Gohan and Piccolo, and it hits Trunks hard that, hey, these, you know, in his future, there was no Piccolo and he watched Gohan die. So now he's going to a future where, correct me if I'm wrong, there's still not going to be, or yeah, no, there is a Gohan and a Piccolo, right? In the future that he's going to, everyone they know is still alive.
I don't think it undoes a lot of the stuff that already happened in the past. I think it just undoes the Zamasu stuff.
Okay. Where I was going with that was, when Kid Trunks is saying goodbye to future Trunks, he tells him to keep training. Okay. Trunks is, as we keep seeing, and that's why I kept bringing up the whole he's turning purple thing, he can be, or he already is, as strong as his father at such a young age. Now, I'm speaking of, you know, Kid Trunks, basically. He's as strong as his dad minus Blue. If he keeps training, he'll definitely surpass Vegeta. And if everyone always says, if Gohan would have kept training, he would have surpassed Goku. So if Trunks is going to this new future, and if he does keep training, if Gohan's alive, does Gohan keep training and those two go on to be like the strongest ones alive ever? I'm just trying to cover like a future arc here.
My understanding was that Gohan was still killed by the androids in that future.
Okay, so they're going to, okay, I got you. So they're going to a future Trunks' spur.
Yeah, the only thing that they're going to change is
the Zamasu.
Zamasu, like the Zamasu deaths.
Oh, all the black deaths.
Yeah, the black.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, the Black Plague.
Okay, so
Goku Black Plague.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to put it. So yeah, all this time travel nonsense, confusion's all done now. Thank God. I already kind of looked forward a little bit, and I already have watched them before. We're going to get into some good stuff now.
Yes, and I know that we're on the wind down for today, but we have a few more episodes before we get to the end of what is classified as the Future Trunks saga.
Oh, really? I thought that was the end of it. Because we got it's like two more episodes until it's done. I got it going over here. Let me see.
Well, at least according to Wikipedia, it has it going until episode 76.
No way. No, I'm looking at the episode thumbnails right now. Okay, we're on 65. Or no, we're... Okay, 65, 66. We just finished 67. Okay, so we finished 67. So episode 68 is Come Forth Shenron, Whose Wish Will Be Granted. And then 69. Nice. Goku versus some Aval. Ridiculous Battle Will End the Earth. Okay, so that one looks like it's starting an arc. 70 is Champs Challenge. This time we fight with baseball. So that's a blow off. Episode 71, The Death of Goku, the Guaranteed Assassination Mission. And that one looks like it goes on for a couple. So yeah, looks like we got our next episode is probably going to be covering a bunch of blow offs. And I see, let's see here, we'll cover 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, possibly 6. Yeah, these look like all blow-offs.
So the next episode will probably be pretty short because, I mean, how much is there to recap in blow-off episodes?
I don't know. I watched halfway into episode 68. That's definitely a blow-off. And judging by these thumbnails and titles, you said what? Wikipedia classifies Future Trunks as going to 75?
To the end of 76.
The end of 76.
Wait, let me double-check. It's,
Oh, I see. I see what it's saying. Okay, so our next episode, we are going to have to cover 7 episodes.
Alrighty.
So, and that's going to be just more time consuming than anything because it's all the blow-offs. But I already see by episode 77's title, I'm not going to give it away, but that is starting a new saga. I'm just going to look at these thumbnails to get a better... Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Okay. Yep. So we're in for blow off episode of 7 episodes next, followed by a whole new series that I'm going to tell you right now is going to be a fun one. We're going to have a lot of play by play commentary on. So
I'll take that over blow off or baseball, whatever it is.
Well, see, the thing with these blow off episodes is that they're just going to be fun. Like, just tear it apart, how stupid of a filler series it's going to be, but
Goku
anyway.
Piccolo driving. I always love that one.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I understand why and all that, but it's still really, come on, Chi-Chi. But anyway, speaking of come on, I got to get ready for work. It is 9:22 and third shift starts in an hour and a half, so I got
to
get ready.
I have to not get ready for work, and yeah.
Yeah, just think, while you're sleeping tonight, I'm going to be awake listening to the equivalent of, like, think of a bunch of, like, 1930s typewriters, okay? Like, when you see the old World War II films, you see all those secretaries just pounding away, okay? Picture an empty warehouse, so, you know, echoey, and, like, 250 of those women just sitting in there, and I'm listening to that for 8 hours.
Or you could listen to some episodes of my other podcast, The Catastrophe Section.
Oh, shameless self-plug there, bud.
Shameless self-plug, but not as shameless as our next sponsor, Diet Mountain Dew. Do you want to do the dew with no calories? Mountain Dew, available in stores. Also, you can sponsor us. Or Busch Light, the beer that'll make you maybe go Super Saiyan. Want to find out? Go drink some at your local store. Well, buy it first, then drink it legally.
Or if you're feeling a little bit frisky, a little bit 70s, go for that Busch Heavy, a.k.a. the Growler. Anyway, let's wrap it up for tonight, and we'll head on out. Stay tuned for the next episode, the Total Blow-Off Series.
Yep. See you next time on Relative Rewind.
As always, I'm Kevin.
And I'm Cameron.
And we'll catch you next time on Relative Rewind.
Rewind on your VCR remote controller DVD combo. Go.
How did you know that I do actually still have the VHS DVD combo?
Because they're the best.
They are, even though everything's streaming.
Something.
Right. Okay, bye.
All right, bye.